Good morning, Agape. How are you guys doing today? It is a pleasure to be with you this morning, and really excited to see how God's going to lead us throughout this time. It's not my normal background. I'm on a retreat with some of the Thai pastors that I work with, and so I snuck away to be able to do this, and was going to do it a little bit later in the week, but just really felt like I needed to do it now. I woke up this morning with somewhat of an urgency to try and just get this to you, and really feel that there's just things in my heart that I want to get out. So if the sound isn't great or anything like that, I apologize, but just felt like this was the time that I needed to do this and wanted to do this. And so I just want to pray to get us started. There's a lot of things in my head and in my heart that I want to share with you today, and I just want to make sure that it comes out the right way and that it's anointed by God. And so let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to speak into each other's lives, Father God. Even though we're worlds apart, Father, we get to commune together and interact together and really feel that sense of connection. And just we know that it's just because of your love and your bond that you have between us, Father God, and that we all are your children, Father God. And there's that connection that we're in the family together, Father. And I just thank you for all those things. And I ask that you anoint this time, that you anoint me, and that you anoint the hearers as well to be able to hear your words, and that these words would penetrate into our hearts, and that they would cause change in our life, that they would create, that they would cause faith to be created within our hearts, Father God, so that we can better serve you and love this world as we love one another, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, there was a couple things that I want to just share with you. A couple days ago, I was driving to where I'm at now, down a little bit south of Bangkok, about 2.5 hours south of Bangkok. And, you know, I just want us to take a little bit of time again as well to pray. I just have had on my heart the past couple of days Doug and Mindy and their family, and just really, I know you guys are praying, but I want to be a part of it too. And so I just want us to take a time just to pray for Doug, for his healing, for their family, for everything that they're going through, for strength, for wisdom, for comfort, and for faith, because they're in a battle, right? And they're not alone, thank God. They're not alone. You guys were there with them. But I want us to take a chance together. And so I just want you to clear your mind a little bit. I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know how this is going to happen. But I just want us to not be in a hurry. When you're making a video, you feel like there can't be any pauses. But we're going to have some pauses. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And so why don't we just close our eyes and just listen to the Lord a little bit. Listen to what he's leading us to pray for, and you pray there as well. The Holy Spirit's probably going to give you something specific that might seem like it's not a big deal, but you need to pray it. If God puts that in your heart, you need to pray it, okay? And so let's pray. Lord, Father, we just take this time and we bring Doug to you, and the situation that him and Mindy and the family are going through right now, Father God, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to move. And Lord, we pray, the biggest thing that I pray right now is that Doug and Mindy would understand and would know how much you love them and how much you're holding them, how much you're caring for them right now, and how much you're working on their behalf. And Doug and Mindy, I want you to understand that he is working in your life for one reason, and that's because he loves you. It's not because you're good. It's not because you have amazing faith. It's not because you've been faithful in the church. It's not because you're a good Christian. It's simply because he loves you. That's the only reason. The only reason he needs to heal you and to comfort you, to provide for you. So I just pray that the Holy Spirit surrounds you right now, and that the Holy Spirit gives you strength in the moments that you don't feel strong, in the moments that you feel weak. I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you faith in the moments that you feel like you have no faith, because that's okay. We're human. We all struggle with those moments of wondering if our faith is good enough and if our faith is strong enough. It is. Because He's good enough, because He's strong enough, because He is faithful enough. Lord, we just pray for all the working parts to come together. Everything that needs to happen, Father God. So many moving parts. Their family, Lord, comfort them in this trial, this period of trial, Father God, this challenging time that they're going through. Bring in all the things that they need, Father God, emotionally, spiritually, physically. God, bring them rest. Fill their home even more with your love and with your peace. And we ask that you pray. We pray right now. We ask that you touch Doug's body. You heal him, Father God, 100%, as we've seen you do so many times in other people's lives. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that purchased our healing, purchased our righteousness, purchased our salvation, purchased our right standing with you, so that we can stand in this place and ask you for this healing. And we thank you. We thank you for the good that's going to come of it. We thank you for the things that you're already doing right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We love you guys all the way from halfway around the world. And just want you to know that you're not alone, and that people here are thinking about you, and people here are praying for you guys. Not just you know, Doug, you and your family, but the whole, everybody there. And I want to talk just a little bit this morning, because we've already taken a little bit of time to pray. But as I was driving here, and I was just praying for the situation with Doug, and just really the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart really heavy, and I was just going over some things in my own mind from things that happened in the church service earlier on that day, and the things that you know, sometimes I need to be reminded of as well. And I want to bring these three things to our attention. And again, I apologize if I don't have every verse looked up or memorized today. This is what it is. Needs to be happening right now for some reason. So there's three things that I want you to remember, and I want to touch base on these three things just a little bit today. It's grace, mercy, and anointing. These things are so strong and powerful in our life, because this is how we interact with God. This is how we receive things from God. This is how we stay protected from things in our life from God. This is how change comes about and happens in our life, through this walk that we have with God. And when we don't have an understanding of how these things work, then sometimes we can get stopped up in our own selves. You know, I always view it like this. Everything that we need, right? Peter says that everything that we need, God has already given us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all the things that we need for this life and the godliness that we need to live on this earth, and the ability to be His sons, and the ability to be His daughters, and the ability to be His, to grow up into the full stature of Christ, and to be someone who lives in the likeness of Him. He's given all those things, but sometimes us on the receiving end, we can stop up that flow. Because of the way we're thinking, because of the way that we're acting, because of our faith, or because of religion. Religion is a big one that gets us. And so then what happens? And the reason I say this is because, you know, there might be other people. This message is not just for Doug and Mindy, but it's for everybody, okay? But sometimes we go through challenges, and we have this battle right in our mind, where we're struggling with even getting out of bed some mornings. Maybe we're struggling to continue to go forward and fight the good fight of faith. We're struggling to go forward to do the things that we feel like we're called to do, and it can be a challenge. And so, hold on a second, I'm gonna pause. All right, I think it's better now. We'll do our best, okay? I'll try to talk louder as well. there's just a lot of activity happening at this place. cleaning and everything. But anyways, the thing that I was saying is that what we can do so many times is we get so caught up into our traditions and to the things that we think in our mind of what we have to do in order to get God to do something for us. And that thing, that very act of thinking that we have to do something to get God to do something for us is detrimental to our faith. And it's detrimental to God responding to our lives, because we're not trying to get God to do something. He's given it to us already. He's already provided everything that we need through the cross, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? His blood has cleansed us. His blood has healed us. His blood has broken the chains of poverty. His blood has broken the chains of oppression and depression and all these things. And it's there. It's ready to come down. But sometimes we stop it up with the way that we think and the way that we believe. And so I want to talk to you about grace. Here's this thing. Grace and mercy are two things that go hand in hand, okay? Let's talk about mercy first. Mercy. Sometimes we get these two words, I think, a little bit confused, and we go back, we kind of mix up the meanings of them. But we know that we have received His mercy. His mercies are new every morning, right? He's a merciful and He's a loving God. And what is mercy? Mercy is not getting, you gotta pay attention, because even I have to keep things straight, pay attention a little bit. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Mercy is when we're supposed to be getting something, but we don't get it. And therefore, we're experiencing His mercy in that season. We're experiencing the not receiving the thing that we're supposed to be getting, right? When you have a speeding ticket and you the police stop you and you're in the wrong, right? When that happens, you deserve a speeding ticket, right? You deserve a penalty. You deserve to be punished because you broke the law. And when you get let off, because sometimes that happens, right? You've been pulled over and you get let off with just a warning. What you're experiencing when that happens is God's mercy. It's His mercy. He's not allowing this punishment to come on you, even though you deserve it, okay? And so what we have to realize and what we have to remember as believers, and I don't know, this has just been, maybe it's just me that needs to hear this. This is what's been going on in my heart the past week. It's been rolling over in my heart a lot, is that we have to remember that without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we have nothing. Without Him, we are only broken sinners who deserve only one thing, and that's His judgment. The only thing that we deserve in our life is judgment. Because we're sinners. Because we've all made mistakes. Because we've all done things that are wrong, right? That's what we deserve, but we're not getting it. And here's the reason why. It's because He is merciful to us. He's merciful to us. So we're not getting the things that we do deserve. I don't deserve His goodness, okay? What I do deserve is punishment for the wrongdoings that I've done. But I don't get that punishment. I don't get that judgment from Him because of His mercy. Now, on the flip side, so mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is the opposite. It is getting what we don't deserve. So when we have mercy and grace and they come together the way that they're supposed to work and the way that they do work, the way that God ordained them to work, is that we have grace on one side and we're getting this thing. It's undeserved favor. It's unmerited favor. It's God doing for us the things that we cannot do for ourselves. It is this thing that we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to live in this new covenant yet because of His love, He sent His Son so that we could be saved by grace through faith. And the faith part is our response to that. But what happens is sometimes we don't realize, we get so caught up in our religion, I'm gonna call it religion, in our religious thinking. We get so caught up in oh, I gotta do all these things, and if I do all these things, then I'm gonna receive healing, or I'm gonna receive prosperity, or I'm gonna be full of joy and happiness. And we get into this, it's very easy to get into this system of works. So we begin to work with God on a on almost like a barter system, almost like, well, I've done this. Now you need to give me this. Lord, I've had faith and I've prayed and I've confessed the good things and I've taken all the negative thoughts and I don't pay attention to them and I'm not negative and we do all these things that we say that we haven't done. And then we kind of turn to God and we say, okay, because I've done these things, I now deserve for you to give me the things that I'm asking for. Yes and no. And that's this balance that we have with grace. Because as soon as you deserve it, you don't deserve it anymore. Because God does not owe you anything. He's not indebted to mankind. He doesn't owe you something just because you were good, just because you did. If you want to work with God, if you want to interact with God on that basis, in that system, then I would warn you not to do it, because here's what's going to happen. He's going to put every other mistake in your life and say, well, what about these? Because the law says if you're guilty in one, you're guilty in all. So we have to be careful that even our religion doesn't become the system of works to where I have done this, therefore God must respond. Now, is it true that God responds to us, that God responds to our faith? Yes, 100% true. But here's what we have to remember. Everything that we have started with Him. 1 John says that we love Him because He first loved us, right? We love Him. We respond to Him because He first loved us, because He showed His love to us first, because He poured out this amazing love and mercy and grace into our lives. And when we see that, we respond with faith, with love in return to Him, and all these things. So when we have this understanding, we have to be careful that we don't get over into this system of, well, we've done all the right things. And it gets tricky because, you know, the Bible does say, having done all to stand, stand. But it doesn't mean that because you checked off everything on the list to do and you have nothing else to do, then just wait for God because God owes you something. No, what that verse means is when it gets tough, you know you've done everything. You know. There is a doing. There is a responding in our part. There is a having a faith. There is a process of living a spiritual life. But it's not a works. It's not works. It's not something that we do in order to get something. We do it because we love Him. And when we're walking this out and we know that we've done everything, then we just keep standing. It doesn't always happen when we need it to happen. We just keep standing. Why? Because we know that it's all coming to us because God loves us. It's all coming into our lives. We're getting the things that we don't deserve because of His grace. And we're not getting the things that we do deserve because of His mercy. So here's what happens with some people. We go on to the extreme. We go on this other extreme, right? With grace. Well, where we say, well, I can't do anything. I can't do anything to earn His love. I can't do anything to earn His blessings. Therefore, I don't have to do anything. And this is I'm not saying that's true. I don't think that's accurate. Just want to be clear. I don't think that is accurate. I don't think that's how God wants us to walk with Him. But it's the way that we go. And people were challenging Paul even, because he preached grace so much. He just preached like that there's nothing you can do. All that you do, Paul said, all my righteousness, all my own righteous works are as filthy rags before Him. They're valueless. They don't do anything in making me more righteous or putting me in a better position to receive something from God. I cannot do that. And Paul came under a little bit of persecution, I believe, where they're saying, oh, well, you're just grace. And he says, I think it's in Romans chapter 6. It might be Romans chapter 11. But he says that because of that, he says, does this mean that we sin more? And he says, certainly not. He said, this doesn't make us sin more. This makes us love God more. This makes us respond to God out of happiness and joy and peace and all these things more because we see how good He is. It's not a license to do whatever you want to do. Listen, you don't need a license to do whatever you want to do. You do whatever you want to do anyways. You just might not tell the pastor. You just might not tell your friends. But there's nobody controlling you, only you. And you know what? This is what I see in Christians' lives all the time. They will be struggling in an area or something, and they will justify that. We don't need to justify it. It's just there. We don't need to say, yeah, I'm struggling, but you know, in this area, I'm really good. We need to bring everything, and we need to lay it at the altar and say, God, here it is. This is me. This is how I am. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I know because of his grace that was given to me because of the blood of Jesus that it's okay. It's not okay, but it's okay. I don't know if that makes sense. It's a real tricky thing. I don't want to sin. Nobody wants to sin. Nobody wants to that's in the church that loves God wants to live an unholy life. And so in that regards, we're not perfect. And so if you struggle, like, we get it. God gets it. God's compassionate, and it's okay. Not saying that it's okay just to continue doing it. It's this balance. We got to be in the middle. We can't just be like, no, we have a response, and we have a responsibility, and we have to do these things, because that turns, that leads us into pride. And I think I talked about this past spring when I was there, when we touched about giving a little bit. When we give, thinking, well, because I've given, now God has to give back to me. No, God's already given you everything that you need, plus more and more and more, because he loves you. And the more that you can respond in faith and not in works, the more those blessings are going to overtake your life. And it's the same with peace and joy and faith and happiness and healing and prosperity and all these things. It's finding that middle, it's finding that rhythm and that groove, and that pace of where God wants us to be, where, yeah, I know that, yeah, I could do something horrible. I could break all the Ten Commandments and ask for forgiveness, and he's going to forgive me if my heart's pure, right? And only God knows if our heart's pure. That's a tricky one. A lot of people will repent, but I would question whether they're really repenting. But that's a whole other topic. But we could do all those things, and we can ask for forgiveness, and if we mean it, yes, God is going to forgive us. But we don't want to, so we do our best not to do those things. But we don't want to get so focused on our doing that we move over into works. And as soon as you start thinking, well, because I've done this, God then now is going to do this in my life, be careful. Take a moment. Step back a little bit, especially you, those of you who have been a Christian for a long time, realize that you're still, even though you've grown a lot, even though that you've matured as a believer, even though you have reached spiritual maturity to a certain degree, that doesn't mean that God owes you. He still doesn't owe you. He's never gonna owe you. He is never going to owe you. He gives you the things that he gives you just because he loves you. I remember I heard the story about a guy who was a worship leader in a church, big church, and he had injured his hand, and he was playing the guitar, he was praying, asking God to heal his hand so that he could worship God better, so that he could do his job and lead other people into worship, because that's what he's called to do as a worship leader. And God didn't heal him. He's still struggling with this thing, going to the doctors, trying to get his hand healed. Some sinner came into the church and got saved. They had something going on in their life, needed healing. The sinner was, well, he was a saint now, but he was cussing, you know, he wasn't doing all the right things, still smoked and chewed tobacco and did all these things we think are just horrible, right? Came in the next week and gave testimony about how God healed him. And this worship leader, he was complaining with God. He said, God, I do all this stuff for you, and you won't heal me. This guy walks in here, he's been serving you for less than a week, and you heal him? What's going on? And God said, I didn't heal him because he's done a lot. I healed him because he responded in faith, and I healed him because I love him. And I'll heal you just because I love you if you'll stop thinking that you deserve your healing because of all that you've done for me. Does that mean that we stop doing good for him? Does that mean that we stop serving him? Does that mean that we stop desiring to do good for him and to be faithful towards him? No, it doesn't mean that. Both can be true at the same time. Yes, we cannot earn it, but at the same time, we do respond in faith. You can't earn it, but you do respond in faith. You can't earn salvation, but the only way to get it is by faith. And that's by reaching out and saying, okay, I hear of your goodness. I hear of how much you love me. I hear of how much you forgive me. I hear of how much you do for me. I want it. I receive it. And I can receive it because you know what? It has nothing to do with how good or bad I've been. It has to do with whether or not I believe that he's given it to me. Romans also says, there's faith, hope, and love. And love is the greatest one. Guys, everything that happens to you, everything that God gives you is because of his love for you and his love for you alone. Love is the basis for everything in our walk with him. If you want to love God more, if you want to respond to him more, do you know what you need to do? Learn about how much he loves you. Because I love him because he first loved me. It wasn't until I couldn't respond in love towards him until I understood how much he loved me. So if you meditate and you focus on how much he loves you, your love for him is going to grow automatically. Don't focus on your love. Don't focus on your faith. Focus on his love and his faithfulness. And then this faith on the inside of us just happens automatically. And we wake up one day and we're like, well, how did this happen? It happened because we focus on him. He must increase in our life. And the way that that happens is by understanding grace, by understanding mercy. And then the third thing is understanding anointing. And anointing is an interesting thing because it is. I feel like I've been reading some verses on anointing for the past 4 or 5 weeks here and there, and just come up and I'm keeping a little notebook that has all these verses in it. And it's just interesting to see all the things that the anointing covers. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus stood up and said, I'm anointed to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. I mean, he was anointed to do all these things. He was anointed to restore mankind on every single level. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says that Jesus of Nazareth, being anointed by God, he went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. It was because of the anointing. It wasn't even because Jesus did good. It was because of the anointing that God put on his life and that God gave him. And guess what? We have received an anointing. There's some verses here that I just want to read to you. 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And that verse goes on to talk about how we don't need anyone to teach us again. Because we have that anointing. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the fullness of God, and the fullness of God brings us also his anointing. We are anointed, you are anointed, and that anointing is on the inside of you. And in the way it functions is grace, mercy, and faith. Maybe we should have put that one in there too. But faith is the response to the grace, right? And so we have an anointing. And I love this verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in us. The anointing abides in us. When you read about the anointing in the Old Testament, the anointing came upon someone. It's because they weren't born again yet. It would come upon a prophet and they would prophesy, and then the anointing would leave. This anointing that we have in New Covenant believers' lives, in our lives as New Covenant believers, is abiding in us. It's taken up residence in us. It's not going anywhere. We might tap into it less, and there might be seasons when it's not there for a certain situation. I've had that happen before. Praying for something, praying for somebody, and there was an anointing really strong, and then you know, you think you can just do the same thing over and over again, but the anointing's not in at that time. And so there is that kind of ebb and flow of the anointing, but it's in there and it resides in you. And this is the last verse I want to share with you. It's so important. Well, there's two verses. Isaiah 10:27, it says that the yoke of bondage was broken because of the anointing. It's his anointing. James, it says, if any of you are sick, call the elders and they'll come and they'll anoint you and you'll be healed. It's not the, and it talks about the anointing oil. It has nothing to do with oil. It has everything to do with the anointing. The oil is just a thing that we can see, that's tangible, we can touch, and it helps us to remind us that God's anointing is on our life. But it's the anointing. I was talking to a guy the other day, minister friend, a couple months ago, and I was talking to him about Thailand and about how there's some issues that I'm trying to address with some of the churches. And he said, you know what, some things only the anointing can break. You can't teach people out of tradition, or you can't teach. He said, no, it just has to be the anointing. You can teach, you can do everything you know, but if there's not the anointing there and they're not able to receive that power and that change in their life because of the anointing of God, he said, you can teach so you're blue in the face. It's the anointing. And the anointing is what breaks the yoke of bondage, breaks the yoke of poverty, breaks the yoke of sickness and disease. It's the anointing. And here's the deal. We are anointed, and that anointing resides on the inside of us. And here's how this goes hand in hand with grace. And this is, I'll end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Listen, even God's anointing in your life is because of him, not because of you. I'm going to read this again. Now he, meaning God, who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, the person who has anointed us is God. You're not anointed, and I get it. Do we have a stronger anointing if we pray more? I think we have access to it more. I think it's clearer. I think we've grown, and I think that does grow in a measure. But the anointing's there first, and it's just our ability to tap into it that has increased, or that has broadened, or that has widened, and that makes us seem like we have more anointing. But the anointing's always been there. It's residing on the inside of you, and God has established that anointing on the inside of you, dependent of you and your good Christian religious works. So stand strong. Stand strong. Listen to his voice for wisdom, to know what you're supposed to be doing when. Because God will give us wisdom. God will give us wisdom, what we're supposed to do. Sometimes it's meaningless, or seems meaningless, but that simple act of obedience is going to have a big impact in our lives and in these situations that we're facing. I love you guys. My time is up. I just pray for you all right now, and I want to encourage you. You know, when you're weak, he's strong. When you feel like you don't have any faith, he is faithful. It is so much to do with him and so little to do with us, even though we have a big part to play. I love you guys. Be blessed. Have a great Sunday. Bye-bye.